AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the Pips, the Players, the Hustlers, the Podcasters, the people at Bust Up, and everybody else in between. Countdown to first pitch is on, and the anticipation is getting real right now. This World Series is being heavily hyped, although the hype train has been slightly derailed this morning as I woke up on the West Coast to the news of a big so-called betting scandal in the National Basketball Association involving Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups that really is not a big gambling scandal involving the NBA with Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups. Now, I don't know. I haven't read the full on report, and I'm into this stuff, so I actually will. I'll go through the actual charges and all that, and because the media is never going to like do a good job of really sort of letting you know what really happened. But you see, like, oh my God, NBA, and they use the term rigging, sports rigging, at the press conference, sports rigging. And all right, like, Chauncey Billups just got arrested for essentially the same thing that Gilbert Arenas got arrested for a couple of months ago. Gilbert Arenas laughing it up, smoking weed on a podcast today. So, you know, okay, you know what I mean? You want to get big attention for this, but what, you know, if you really want to break it down, they're totally separate incidences. Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups, they have nothing to do with each other. And like I said, they're using the NBA to get media attention for this, in the sense that Chauncey Billups is alleged that Chauncey Billups was involved in a mob-run poker operation. Okay, so Chauncey Billups was bringing his rich buddies and rich NBA players to poker games that were being run by the Gambinos, allegedly, whatever. It was the Eastern District of New York. So, like, they're alleged that, you know, the traditional mob families had illegal poker games going on, big-time VIP poker games, but that they were using high-tech technology and the games were rigged. So I don't doubt this. Like, okay, and that's what they do. Like in, you know, Hollywood, New York and stuff, the celebrities, without naming names, like I was told, yeah, I just played blackjack with Bon Jovi the other night at an underground big time game. Right? Like people, this stuff happens all the time, right? Some of these people are smart and say, you know what, let's not rip them off. And, you know, we'll always use them for favors. And we're, you know, we're making money off the cut anyways. And there'll be other families that'll say, you know what, we got a bunch of NBA rich guys in here. Let's just fleece them, rip them all off, rig the game. What are they going to do? They're going to go to the cops. They're going to go to their boys to get us. Like, what are they going to do? Not going to do anything. Right. So I don't know. Like, so Chauncey Billups, you really think Chauncey Billups was like, you think Chauncey Billups is part of the Gambino family? Like, come on. So, all right, Chauncey Billups is going to poker games. I'm sure there's a lot of pissed off NBA players now with Chauncey saying, son of a bitch, you brought me to a crooked game. And then Terry Rozier is a separate different case where Rozier's been under investigation for like 2 years now for this, for suspicious betting activity. They don't have him betting. Point blank, they don't have him betting. Rozier did not bet. Rozier got one of the worst contracts in NBA history from a team's perspective. Like, he got seriously paid, man, for the Charlotte Hornets. Rozier didn't need to bet, but I don't know if Rozier, like, owed something to somebody, felt bad for his crew, that, you know what, all right, I'll hook you guys up. But they do have Rozier, like, caught point blank telling people to bet his props because he will not play the entire game and he's going to leave the game. So they do have him saying that to people. Okay. Maybe he knew he wasn't feeling well that day. As a defense attorney, I could spin this in a million ways. And I would just cut to the chase. And I would say, did my client profit off of this? Did my client bet? No. So he told someone that he might leave a game one night because he wasn't feeling well that day. Okay, really? Let's bring Rob Vino in. Rob, I don't want to derail the World Series, but what's your take on all of this? As someone from Philadelphia that has seen and heard a lot worse than this.
Yeah, I mean, A, it brings to mind if anybody's ever watched the movie Molly's Game, that's the type of game you're talking about. Of course, she wasn't syndicate and got whacked around a little bit for going behind the syndicate's back. But the Malik Beasley thing to me was worse, Gabe. I mean, there was actual film on Malik Beasley with, like, you know how NBA games, they dribble out the clock where he would get a rebound with like 3 seconds left and race as fast as he can to score a bucket.
God bless his heart for that. I love that video.
He probably helped us out a lot.
There's a video of him. Yeah, they were playing the Miami Heat, and the point spread was 8.5. And he basically, to cover the point spread, the point spread was 8.5, and they were down by 10. And like Rob said, he sprinted down the end of the court to make sure that he laid the ball in. And then he did a little like fist pump to himself after he did it. like that he got it in on time. And everybody else kind of looked at him while they were shaking hands. Like, all right, dude, like, all right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what, you know, okay. You worried about your stats? It was like, nah, he was trying to get the point spread. Like he knew the spread. And guys, like I said, we could talk gambling all the time. All day, but like there's a famous story from the Fab 5 days, the Michigan Wolverines, right? So there was a local guy, Ed Davis. He was the Ed Davis. He was the bookie for the car factories. Not a bad contract to have. Think about it. Every GM and Ford worker wants to bet on the football every week. Dear God, think of the action.
Yeah.
So he basically, you know, he was like a big, he was a hustler. He was a roller and operator in the Detroit area. He befriended the Fab Five. And basically in those days, there was no NIL and stuff. So basically he started hooking the Fab Five up with money. He goes, you guys are getting ripped off. You know, here's 200K. Here's 300K. Here's a Hummer. Here's this and that. It's funny because Jalen Rose like claims to this day, I never got anything. It's like, well, you're the only one then, Jalen, because you should speak to everyone else on the team because everyone else got paid. So, and I'm a Michigan fan and I say this, I'm just being real. So, there was that sort of was it Davis or Martin? I swear to God, I think it could have been Ed Martin. But
maybe Ed Martin.
Yeah, I think it was Ed Martin. So anyways, long story short, you knew it was going to come, right? About, okay, listen, you guys are favored by like 27 every night. It's not going to hurt anybody. Just don't cover the spread. Like, you know what I mean? So Michigan are playing Northwestern. And I don't know if you guys, for people tuning in, everyone tuning in, it's like 25 years ago, whatever, 30 years ago, this whole story. But like in those days at Northwestern, there was a couple of kids on Northwestern that did get arrested for like shaving points. They were screwing around. They ran up a gambling debt with like a bunch of dudes on campus. The dudes on campus told them, just don't cover point spreads. You don't have to pay us. So there's a game, guys, where it was the Fab Five versus Northwestern. And they were both not trying to cover at the end. Like, can you imagine, Rob? Like, they were both purposely taking bricks. Steve Fisher actually... It's like an off the record thing. Steve Fisher like caught on. Like Fisher's not dumb. The coaches know. Like, so Fisher, like in the huddle, said, you know, I've never seen you guys pass so effing much of my life like you are tonight. He goes, we've been up by 17 and we just don't seem to be pulling away. Right. And the spread was like 23.5, Cam. And like Michigan were adamant. Like they hit the wall at 17, 18. They knew. They were like, all right, listen, we're already up by 20. Just whatever, cool. Dude. Just slow it down. Slow it down without looking too obvious here. So like I said, Fisher, it was a great line. And Fisher goes, I've never seen you guys pass so much in your life. Like,
that's amazing.
That was his little wink that, listen, I know what's going on here. So, like, let's not get into this stuff. But the kid wanted, you can find it. It's on Oprah Winfrey. There's a kid, he went on, Oprah was filmed in Chicago, Northwestern. The kid on Northwestern, God, when he got out of jail, he went on the Oprah Winfrey show to warn people about this stuff. Don't bet on campus, like, because this is what happened to me, and I got forced into doing something I didn't want to do and all that. And he said the story, basically. He goes, yeah, I don't want to say, but he goes, you know, the team with all the stars and stuff. And he goes, like, he basically told the story about how they were all both trying to miss shots at the end of the game. And he was getting threatening looks, like they were like threatening to kill him during the game from the stands because the spread was too close. Like they were basically like staring him down from the crowd right out of a movie. So If you guys want, watch the Netflix stuff, the sports gambling scandals. What is it? I forget what it's called. Something of a cheater. But it's all basically like, you know, steroid scandal, like Italian soccer match fixing scandal. Mm. But they have the Arizona State basketball story and they interview everybody. Like it's just 20 years later. So they got the kids are being like the players are all honest about what happened. And it's really funny, actually, when you hear it's not so funny if you're betting on the game, because now you find out that, like, you know what I mean? The kid really wasn't trying to make the shot. But it is really funny when you hear the stories about how the kid like was in same thing. He owed like $20,000 to a bunch of bookies. They told him, don't worry about it. Just don't cover a spread here and there. And he caught on that he couldn't do it himself, Rob. It was too funny. He was like, I don't have a choice. I got to bring a teammate on this. I can't do this by myself. Mm-hmm. And he told a story in a Netflix show. He goes, I swear to God. He goes, there was one game and I was in a lot of trouble and I really needed us not to cover the spread. He goes, there was this one kid on our team that was the worst shooter ever. He goes, he had the game of his life. Like, you can't control that, Cam, even if you're on the team.
Right. Yeah.
Like I had Tom Donahue on, and even Donahue went like 6-3 only. Like there were instances that there's nothing you can do. It's like, but the kid on Arizona State told a story. He was like, you know, he goes, there was a kid on our team. He wouldn't effing miss. So I stopped passing it to him. And then because he was the point guard. And then the coach had the thing. He goes, what are you, an idiot? He goes, pass the ball to him. And so he was like, I was begrudgingly passing him bad passes and stuff. Like, it was really funny, man. He goes, I feel horrible. He goes, I really feel bad about like everything. Like he goes, oh, it was terrible, the situation. It's really, really funny. I'm always fascinated by that. So this whole story, guys, it really doesn't seem to be very much when it's all said and done. All right, Rob. Rob's a Dodger fan. Rob's a Dodger fan. Cam is a Blue Jay fan. I'm a Dodger fan. We're going to have Richard Garner on the show tomorrow. Richard Garner, of course, famously was on the field the last time that the Blue Jays won the World Series. He ran on the field, and he was right behind Joe Carter as Joe Carter crossed home plate. And not only that, Richard Garner snuck into the game. So Richard Garner's going to join us tomorrow, and I'm going to ask him, 32 years later, as a grown man, are you going to attempt to sneak into the World Series? And we'll get the answer tomorrow from Richard. But I brought up in the past UFC countdowns and how they can mess with your head a bit. Like, you know, they hype up both fighters and you get all confused because everybody looks good. And Rob, being in Canada right now, it's very similar to me. Every network, all the time, everywhere, is Toronto Blue Jay talk. And listen, I'm a diehard Raptor fan, but I'm not a diehard Blue Jay fan, but I'm a diehard Raptor fan. And I remember the us against the world mentality that we had with the Raptors. And I remember, like, I hated the Warriors. Like, Raptor fans stood outside the hotel literally all night and banged drums to keep the Warriors up. Like, people in Toronto are gung-ho about their teams when they go this far. So there's the, you know, F the Dodger chance and the constant, the Blue Jays are better. You got Alex Rodriguez talking about this isn't David versus Goliath. This is Goliath versus Goliath. The Blue Jays are good, Rob. Last year I knew we were going to beat the Yankees. I was like, the Yankees are kind of sloppy. They're kind of, you know, you got Aaron Judge and Soto, but we can handle them. The Blue Jays worry me more than the Yankees did last year. But maybe I'm an arrogant son of a bitch, Rob, because I still think the Dodgers win in five.
Yeah, I could see. I mean, I think if I when I go up and down at Gabe, the one guy that really bothers me and who's bothered the Dodgers before is George Springer. He's a bother. He's been a thorn in the Dodgers' side. But otherwise, the pitching for the Dodgers, the LA Dodgers, the starting pitching has been so terrific. And when you go through it, you know, Blake Snell, you start to look at who's actually faced these guys. Blake Snell's been out of the American League for 5 years. Blue Jays' current lineup really hasn't seen him other than maybe Dalton Varsho, who played for the Diamondbacks. Yamamoto, nobody on the Blue Jays has actually
faced
him.
Love that they haven't seen him.
Good call.
Love that they haven't seen Yamamoto.
The first time arounds for these things. I mean, obviously they've seen Shohei. Tyler Glasnow has been absent from Tampa Bay for a couple of years now. It's interesting. The starting pitching, I still think, has an advantage here for Los Angeles. The things you fear, obviously, are the bullpen, right? Vesia seems to come in and get the job done, but he's a scary watch. Blake Treinen is a scary watch. Hopefully, Emmett Sheehan comes out of the bullpen and pitches
Blake
a little
Treinen
bit more
should be
in this
watching.
Series.
Rob, he shouldn't be a scary watch. He should be watching from the dugout, right?
Hopefully, Banda's been good.
Yeah, Banda. Listen, I like Banda. I like Vesia. The X factor for the series, like from a tactical standpoint, really is going to be the battle early in the baseball game between the stud Dodger pitchers and the Blue Jay hitters. Can the Blue Jay hitters work the count? You know what I mean? Can they work the count? Right, the Blue Jays were the best team in baseball at racking up pitch counts and working it and getting pitchers out of there. The Dodgers know this. You know, it basically, you know what's crazy? Literally and fairly, the Blue Jays have the highest contact rate in baseball, which means like when they swing at a pitch, they miss less than anyone else in baseball. The Dodger pitchers have the highest whiff rate in baseball. So the Dodgers pitchers don't throw to contact and the Blue Jay hitters hit the contact. Who's going to win that battle early? And it's funny because to do it though, you almost have to attack them because the Dodger pitchers are going to attack the Blue Jay hitters early. They're going to throw strikes. So if you're a Blue Jay hitter, like the Dodgers, you're going to say, all right, I want to work the counts. So be like, all right, yeah, you just threw a fastball down the middle at me. Right? Like the Dodgers are good at like baiting you into swinging at this stuff. I'm on record. I think you savage, and I'll throw it to Cam and get his breakdown, but I say you savage, Rob, is the one. I think the kid's going to implode. Listen, I give him credit. He bounced back the second time against Seattle. I can see it in his face, man. Like, the kid looked like he looked really nervous like last time against Seattle. Now you're gonna throw this kid out here in the World Series? And, yeah, the Dodgers have never seen him before. And normally I say an advantage pitcher. Okay, he's also never seen the Dodgers before, and as good as he is, Dodgers have had a full week now, Rob, to basically watch the game tape, look at his pitch. He's got this stupid sinker thing that's, like, unhittable. Don't swing at it. It always ends up in the dirt, and it's not a strike. Pretty simple. Don't swing at it, and the kid's going to be in a lot of trouble.
You want Cam or you want me?
Yeah, that was for you, Rob.
That's for you. I'll talk to you, Jay. You go, Rob.
Yeah, I would just say real quick that it's probably more intimidating for you, Savage, to face a Dodger lineup than it is for first-timer Yamamoto to face the Blue Jay lineup. And I feel like Milwaukee was a contact-hitting squad too, Gabe, and they just couldn't get contact against the L.A. Dodger pitching staff. It's interesting. Blake Snell and
the
Tyler
Phillies
Glass
are pretty good hitters too. Mm-hmm. They're not the best contact hitters, but they're good crushing-the-ball hitters that everybody hyped up. And, man, they struck out a million times against the Dodgers.
Yeah, because guys like Snell and Glasnow, who used to be guys that would throw 100 pitches by the fifth inning, now the location has just been so good with these guys. Blake Snell even said it. He said, you know, if I walk four in a game, it doesn't bother me. He's probably walking those four with a reason behind it. If he doesn't need to walk a guy, he won't walk a guy. He likes his control. He loved the way all four of those guys are throwing right now. Difficult to see Toronto winning four games in this series. To me, it would have to be done with their offense. The starting pitching edge is just way too huge. And the fact that Dave Roberts, Gabe, really quick, I'll give him credit, which I never do. But I'll give him credit for at least letting these starters go 7 innings to 8 innings now and not looking at that bullpen until absolutely necessary. Because when he looks at it, he makes poor decisions and brings poor guys into the game. And that eighth inning has been a nightmare. But I think the Dodgers do win. In, you know, if it stretches out, it would be 6, but probably less than 6.
The only thing, history is not on the Dodgers. There's a few things that aren't on the Dodgers' side. This is the fifth time, we talked about it earlier in the week. This is the fifth time, four times before, a team that swept their championship series played a team that went 7 games in their championship series. And the team that went 7 games is 4-0 for whatever reason, including the 88 Dodgers, Rob. The Athletics swept the championship series. The Dodgers went 7, and the Dodgers beat them. Here's another little just twist that no one talked about, but it sort of rang my bell. The Dodgers went 32 years without winning a championship. Because I have a lot of people, oh, Marinci, you Dodgers, hope you're happy, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, shut up. We didn't win from 88 to 2020, you know? I still, like, so people are just bitches nowadays, but 32 years. Toronto Blue Jays, last World Series, 32 years. Pretty wild. The Blue Jays' last World Series appearance 32 years ago in 1993. So it's amazing to me, these little sort of symmetries here. Cam, what's your breakdown?
Well, I'll tell you guys, another thing people talk about is the Dodgers' bullpen, and it's kind of not correct because you don't see these guys as much because they're starting pitching so damn good. As a Blue Jay fan, people are talking about an advantage. I'll tell you something, Gabe, from watching almost every game this year with the Blue Jays, Jeff Hoffman might have been good in a couple of games. I've also seen him blow a lot of saves. It's concerning. Little was one of their best guys. He gave up a grand slam. He's got an ERA of 12. So I'm going to say, you know, like for all the people, all the strengths you talk about with the Blue Jays, I'm concerned about their bullpen. The one thing I love is they're hitting, but have they gone up against a pitching staff like this? The Mariners have a great staff, but the Dodgers staff is better. Snell's unhittable. All the other guys, Yamamoto, you're right. They haven't seen him. Glasnow, sure, these guys pitch for the Rays, but good point by you too, Rob. Like, only a few guys on this team have seen them, like, a lot, right? So this is going to be a mystery to them. The whole key to success, and it's a, you know, we could break everything down. You said it, Gabe. The Jays have to work counts. They have to get on base, and they have to get those guys in there and get the starters out. I think it's going to be a classic series. I think for the Blue Jays to win, it has to be a higher scoring game, lower scoring game, face the Dodgers. But I am very concerned because people talk about the significant bullpen edge with the Jays. And if you really go up and down the bullpen, you know what? They're okay. But what do we really know about the Dodgers? Because we never see them as much as we see, like, Louis Varland and all the other guys that the Jays will roll out there. That's my take.
I'm not fearing the Blue Jays bullpen from the Dodgers' perspective.
Exactly.
The Dodgers' bullpen won't really be that much of a factor in the series, I don't think. I hope. And I don't think the Blue Jays' bullpen is that good. I tweeted out yesterday. I said, to me, the bullpens are kind of even, right? They're kind of hit or miss. They could be good. They could get hit. But the Blue Jays are going to have to use their bullpen a hell of a lot more. Well, Max Scherzer to be able to do what he did against Seattle, that'll be an interesting one, Rob. Scherzer versus the Dodgers. And I want to get to some football with Rob, but we'll get Rob's picks for the World Series. But two interesting storylines too, Rob, that bolster the Dodgers that I like from an emotional standpoint. Teoscar Hernandez played with the Blue Jays for 5.5 years. He loved Toronto. He didn't want to leave Toronto. They didn't pay him. So he went to the Seattle Mariners, and then Seattle didn't keep him. And thank God that these teams didn't want him, huh, Rob? Because he's been a great LA Dodger. And you know he would like nothing better. He's saying all the right things, nothing but love. I love the city and all that. But so you got that nice little return, comfortable with the park, shorter porch as well. He used to murder the ball in that stadium too. So now you got a shorter porch for Teoscar. And I'm always surprised. I always think just everybody knows everything about everything in sports, but they don't. But Freddie Freeman's parents are Canadian, Rob, but his mother died, right? And he was very close with his mother. He plays for Team Canada. He's a dual citizen. He plays for Team Canada instead of the USA because of his mother. His mother is from Ontario, bro. Like, Freeman, like, was, like, basically nearly in tears, but tears of joy, saying, like, this is his dream come true, playing a World Series in Canada. that he's thinking about his mother, that he wants to make her proud, that he can't wait for game one and the feeling of being in Toronto for the World Series. And he never could have imagined as a kid that this would ever have happened. Man, Freddie's going deep, Rob. Like, I'm betting Freddie Freeman props, and I'm betting the Oscar props. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that sounds like the pregame shows you were talking about, Gabe.
I could get people running through a wall if you gave me an hour hearing some dramatic music.
Yeah, it's actually an emotional story for sure. Freddie Freeman, 10 years old, of course, with his dad too. Gabe, the mom died, but the dad had health issues as well. So Freddie Freeman's been through it a little bit here, and I could definitely see him. He is an emotional guy when it comes to family, like most of us are. I could see him bearing down. I mean, I don't know. Can you give more than 100%, which you probably would in a World Series anyway? But it probably makes it a little more special for guys like he and Teoscar. And real quick here, the one thing, you know, I kept rambling on about Dodger starting pitching because I feel like that's where the biggest edge is. But when you go through the Dodger lineup, Gabe, I mean, Toronto's asset is their offense. And the Dodger offense actually is probably better. Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, Will Smith, Tommy Edman's been great. Kike Hernandez is always a World Series or a playoff hero at some point in time. Of course, Freddie Freeman. So there's a lot for Toronto's pitching, even starters, to deal with here.
So, Rob, you're before we get you out of here, a couple of football picks, but your prediction, any MVPs, final series exact games or anything?
You know, I got there early with this series, Gabe. I'm not in the business of doing this, but I laid 2-10 very first night when I first saw a number on this series. And generally, I will not lay 2-1 on almost anything, but I did here with the Dodgers to win the series. I think that they'll try as hard as they can. If the Dodgers do win the series, they will try as hard as they can, the powers that be, to make sure Shohei wins it. I mean, here's a guy who played one game, had one good game in the playoffs to that point, and wound up winning NLCS MVP. It was a hell of a game, but he doesn't have to do much to win it. I'm sure he'd be the favorite here. If you're looking for somebody other than that, I just feel like Mookie Betts is playing the best offensive baseball of any Dodger right now, so maybe I'd slide toward Mookie for the Dodgers.
Mookie's 22-1. Right.
That's crazy.
A prop that I found for the World Series, I'm going to sprinkle on because maybe it could be Blake Snell. Snell's the only guy that could actually do this. Is
go twice.
There's a prop at Bet365. It's under the World Series specials. Will there be a complete game by any pitcher in the World Series? 14-1, Rob.
Yeah, and you know what,
Dude, Gabe? If Snell can go, they won't take him out, right? Because he won't have to pitch again until he would hypothetically pitch again on Wednesday only, right? So they wouldn't, you know what I mean? They probably wouldn't, though. That's the whole thing. Like, would they?
No, I'll add to it quick, Gabe. I'll add to it because last game he did take him out after 8 innings, and Snell talked about it after the game, how he wanted to go back out there for the 9th. So to your point, I think if that situation arose this time, Dave Roberts would say, okay, I pulled you last series. This time go get him in the 9th inning.
Mention,
so I like that.
I can't help but think one of the biggest moments of Blake Snell's career that people think about is Blake Snell being taken out of a World Series game too early in Tampa Bay and him flipping out about it.
Against the Dodgers.
Yeah, and basically the manager like said, well, tell Blake to look at his the batting averages of hitters three times through the lineup. And that was a pot shot at Snell that, all right, he's good the first two times through, but third is too much. Well, Snell's taken that to heart. It really has. Like, now he's like, all right, you know what? You think that I'm a six-inning guy, I can only go through the lineup twice? I can't go through it three times or four times? Okay, I'll show you. Right? Like, I mean, I'll show you three times, like, perfectly through. So at 14-1, pretty big numbers. All right, Rob's got, like, a couple of minutes. What is Rob? Any football on the way out here? Final week of CFL. And for the record, Rob, I know you're a Dodger fan, but, I think it will go 5, so we'll see if it's going to be, you know, how it plays out, but I will be at game 5. I couldn't resist. I wanted to go to a game in Toronto, but it's further, it was more expensive, and it takes longer. Like, it took up a couple of days for me to do it. LA, it's going to be like a bang-bang operation for me. I'm going to be gone, like, basically less than 24 hours. So, but I will be at game 5, Rob, but get this. you're a Dodgers fan, so I'll put you on the hot seat. When's the last time the Dodgers won the World Series in Los Angeles?
You mean win the final game in L.A.?
Yeah. Not in my lifetime. Yeah, 1963. Right.
That's insane.
88, they won on the road. You're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 88,
they won on the 1981, they won in New York. 1988, they won the game. They were in Oakland. They didn't win until 2020. It was the COVID year. It was played on a neutral field in Texas. Last year, they won at Yankee Stadium. The Dodger organization has only won the World Series on their home field once. Once. Wow. In 1963, they beat the Yankees. Pretty wild. Hmm. Yeah, so we'll see if, like, you know, like I said, so history says then it's gone longer than five. Like, for the Dodgers to win, from a Dodger perspective, like, if the Dodgers are going to win on their home field, it has to be in four or five games. Like, it's just point blank. It's a 2-3-2 format. Game six and game seven are in Toronto, right? So it would have to be in five games. Rob, football, before I get you out of here, college, NFL, what do you like this week? Anything catch your eye? Totals? What do you got for us, my man?
Yeah, I'll go quick with you here because we're short on time. CFL, you talked about, Gabe. I'll tell you what, the first game out of the chute this weekend is Ottawa-Hamilton, and Hamilton needs to win that game. So I played that game a couple of ways here. I played Hamilton team total over 16.5 first half. I played the full game total. Ottawa looked pretty good last week in defeat. I know it was at home, season home finale, but I still think they can make this number, even if Hamilton pulls a couple guys towards the end. And then I played the Montreal-Winnipeg game under the 49.5. Under doesn't come out of my mouth too often. College football, real quick, I'll give you four totals, a couple of them under the radar here. Played Rutgers-Purdue over the number 59. Even Purdue with the backup quarterback, this should be a shootout. The backup, by the way, is a dual threat, unlike Ryan Brown, the original starter. Kansas and K-State would have been my biggest play of the week over the total 56.5. But there's some, you know, there's going to be some slight rain there. I don't think it'll totally affect it, but it downplayed the size of my bet a little bit. Kansas State, Kansas up and over 56.5. Utah State, New Mexico, probably self-explanatory there, over 61.5. And then, you know, I love what Casey Keeler has done at Temple, Gabe, especially from an offensive perspective. They go to Tulsa in one of those kind of way under the radar American Athletic Conference games. But I like Tempa and Tulsa, very low number here, over 53.5, where sides are concerned. Like Houston, plus the points at Arizona State, could be a little let down off the Texas Tech win. And plus Jordan Tyson is a no-go in that game. Wanted to get to Indiana against UCLA. But they just made the price way too high in that one. And NFL, real quick here, I went ahead. I love Atlanta.
Let me just say quick, I know you got to get out of here.
Go ahead.
Imagine if UCLA pulls off one more upset if they beat Penn State and Indiana. I'm just throwing it out there. Just imagine. Yeah.
I hope I don't have to, but I haven't gotten there yet. I have to find a way to play Indiana first. NFL, love the Falcons here in this spot. I think that should be a double-digit win. The Broncos-Cowboys, there's no way to play the Cowboys except over the total right now, and it was amazing to me. I know the comeback's a great story, 33-point fourth quarter, but it was amazing to me how easy it was kind of for the Giants to carve up the Denver defense. Dallas's offense is even better. So Denver on reputation, solid defensively. Also by reputation, a team that bullies bad defenses, probably find yourself an over there. It's moved. It's moved a lot, all the way up to 50.5 right now. So we still have the key 51 working in our favor. And I think that the Ravens and Bears probably find their way over the total as well. It's a 49.5 right now. You can get better numbers than that. You can get a 49 if you shop real well. Still 48.5 is out there. So I like that one as well.
Rob Vino, wagertalk.com, Rob Vino Sports on X. Rob, you're the best. Always a pleasure, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good weekend.
Take care, Rob.
There's Rob Vino.
Take care, Cam.
With us. So World Series rapidly approaching. Very fired up for this World Series. Like I said, I was super excited last year because, you know, the Yankees-Dodgers, like, you know, it's like that Celtics-Lakers sort of. You can't. And, you know, I'm not demeaning the other teams, but it just is what it is. It's sort of like you know what I mean? It's like Duke versus, you know, Michigan or something, and you know, champion like
Kentucky back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah, like Kentucky. There's blue blood. So you get these blue blood finals, and the Dodgers and the Yankees was just that classic blue blood. And we hadn't had it since 1981. So it was a long time coming. But as I stated, as a Dodger fan, you know, I kind of, you know, I felt as if though, you know, the Yankees have flaws. The Dodgers are the better team. They've, you know what I mean? I really felt like, yeah, the Dodgers are going to win this series against the Yankees. The Blue Jays are deeper than the Yankees were. Like this Blue Jay team, you know, the unheralded players on the Blue Jays have been big contributors for them. My, you know, to me, that's like the big X factor of the series is the guys like Addison Barger, the guys like
Clement,
Lucas. Well, Clement to me is, I'm not so worried about him. He's been so good. I mean, Clement's hitting like 400 or something. It's amazing. Like that. Mm-hmm. Right. Clement has been very consistent. Like I said, so you look at like Addison Barger has been a big contributor in a regular season. This guy was a badass for them. But in the postseason, okay, you know, he struggled offensively for the most part here. What are these guys going to be able to do, right, in against this Dodger pitching right now that's going to be the best pitching that they've seen right so far? So that's the key. And then you get the pitchers, the Blue Jays pitchers as well. They've done really, really well, right? But you've got question marks. Bieber's good, but he's not unhittable, Bieber. Gausman is the Jays' best pitcher, Cam. So I think, you know what I mean, Gausman's a stud. Will Gausman handle the pressure? You never know, right, in a World Series game. Like, it's different, man. Like, you'll see, like, the pressure – Each level, like of the playoffs that go on, the level just sort of the pressure gets bigger and bigger. And all the Dodgers, this is what I like about the Dodgers, that they're sort of in their prime right now of this. Right? Remember, the Dodgers didn't win before, right? Like they fell short. They lost to the Cardinals, and you know what I mean? They lost to the Red Sox in the World Series. They lost to the Astros in the World Series. They lost to the Cardinals in the playoffs. They lost to the Padres in the playoffs. They lost to the D-backs in the playoffs. Like, the Dodgers had a lot of failure in the playoffs, right? They, you know, they would win a series, they would lose, and they finally broke through and know how to win now. So, to me, that's going to be the difference. The Blue Jays are such a confident group that I don't hold it against the Jays that they haven't won before, because I don't think that's a factor for them, Cam, because Springer's won before. Vlad, I don't like. Vlad is he's got ice in his veins. Vlad doesn't get rattled. So I don't think the Blue Jays are really, you know, their star players, I don't think, will get rattled. Max Scherzer's a vet. He's seen it all, but will, you know, how will he pitch against the Dodgers? That's going to be fascinating to see. But overall, you can't dispute the Dodgers have a deeper team than the Toronto Blue Jays. They have more proven players than the Toronto Blue Jays do. And I personally think, and we saw this against the Seattle Mariners, the Blue Jays lost their first two home games. The stadium on Friday night in Toronto is going to be the rowdiest, craziest baseball stadium in the history of the World Series. This ain't a Leaf crowd. Like, Blue Jay fans are rowdy. They're younger, they're rowdier, it's much more multicultural than the Leafs. Like, the Leafs are known for, like, whatever, dude. It's not a hard building to play.
Boring Bay Street dudes, yeah,
but exactly. The Blue Jays, that stadium is going to be freaking insane.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's going to backfire on the home team. Now, we'll see if they're able to absorb it better. They got caught up in the moment against Seattle where – and they even admitted it. Like, yeah, I was going to get on the road type of thing. And this is going to be times 10 now tomorrow. First World Series in Canada in 32 years. Blue Jays, you know, it's going to be a very emotional moment for a lot of people. Right? Like, you can't help it. Like, it's like the Super Bowl, guys. Like, when you see on the national anthem and stuff, and you'll see players crying. And people will be like, oh, he's crying for the national anthem. And you find out after. It's like, he wasn't crying for the national anthem. He's crying because he's in a Super Bowl. And they don't even realize they're crying. It's like, yeah, the dream is here. Like, so there's going to be a lot of Blue Jay players. They're going to be like, the player introduction. Don't forget, in the World Series, they all get introduced and they come running out and stuff. They're going to be so fired up and so in, like, dream la-la land about, oh, my God, this is so awesome. Dude, the Dodgers have done this, right? They've been in these big spots. They won't, like Mookie Betts said, like, the Dodgers operate on the Kobe. They're big what they write. They're big Kobe Bryant guys, the Dodgers. So they got Kobe on the wall in their room. Job ain't done, right? Like, every time they win, they're like, hey, job ain't done, man. Job ain't done. Next one, next one. So I'm fascinated to see how it plays out. So what's your prediction and how many games, Cam? And what do you think the series will be after two games in Toronto?
I think it's going to be a classic, and I think it's going to go seven. I think they're going to split. I think the Blue Jays might lose the first game and win the second game, and then they go to the Dodgers and have three, which is absolutely huge. You're right about one thing, too. They got to come out there, and it's going to be crazy early in that game. I think getting a lead and not letting the Dodgers pummel them will be very, very important. But Gabe, you're right. I see a lot of evenness in the series. Will the Blue Jays young players be able to handle it? That's what I worry about a little bit. Like Nathan Lucas and all these other guys, they were fantastic, but they haven't seen an anything like the World Series. Like, it was huge, and they did their thing in the divisional series, in the championship series. This is the World Series. Another concern that I have with Mookie Betts and stuff, like, he's seen Gausman as a Boston Red Sox, and he's seen him, you know, when Gausman pitched even for the San Francisco Giants, he's hitting over 300 against him. So we talk about X factors in the series. He's a guy that could really, really help the Dodgers out, and Gausman is their best pitcher. After Yusevich, you're right. Is he going to be great, or is he going to buckle under the pressure? Bieber is hittable, and after that, who knows what the hell's going on? The Dodgers staff is much deeper, better, but I think the Blue Jays can hit. They're going to, if they want to win this series, they got to turn it into a slugfest. I think it's going to go the distance, Gabe.
The Blue Jays are deeper than the casual, like, fan. Although the Blue Jays have been getting some exposure now and people kind of learning more about their team, but Rob Vino did bring it up as far as Springer is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Springer terrorized the Dodgers in the World Series before, so Springer has confidence and has hit. If you look, like, Springer's the only one that's actually hit Snell at all. I'll go over the numbers here, but look, the Blue Jays' numbers against the Dodgers' pitchers are not good. Like, for the most part, it's very favorable. I was looking at it, I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, most of the Blue Jays, the Dodger pitchers have kind of owned most of the Blue Jay hitters. There's not massive sample sizes, but, like, if you look at the playoffs here, George Springer is only hitting .239. Thing with Springer is he's got four home runs.
Exactly.
So the thing with Springer, he's got four home runs. So they're big hits. And so this is like the modern baseball, like, analytics, like Springer guy. Yeah, don't worry about it. He only hits .238, but he's got some clutch hits for us because he's hit four home runs. So Springer has been good in the clutch. He's had a couple of big hits, but he hasn't been great overall. He's hitting .239. Alejandro Kirk is hitting .222 in the playoffs. All right, so Alejandro Kirk's got 45 at-bats. He's got 10 hits. He's hitting .222. Dalton Varsho is hitting .273. That's okay. You know, Varsho's pretty good. Vlad is the one that's just been murdering it. And Vlad's got 19 hits and 43 at-bats. Like, Vladimir Guerrero is, like, putting together one of the best postseasons ever. The dude's hitting .442. Ernie Clement, as I talked about. Ernie Clement, man, this guy's unbelievable. He's hitting .429 in the playoffs. Unbelievable. Jimenez is hitting .317.
Crazy.
Barger's hitting .286 in the playoffs. Jimenez has been, like, a great surprise as far as his power and how he's hit the ball. You people, you know what? I should find it. I'll look really smart, actually. When Jimenez, the day that the Blue Jays acquired Jimenez, I tweeted out, I said, all you Blue Jay fans crying about Soto and all these guys, I said, Jimenez is an awesome pickup. I said, Jimenez, a three-time Gold Glover, your defense sucks, and he's going to shore everything up for you. Boom. Suddenly, the Blue Jays can turn a double play. Before, they couldn't field a ground ball. Now they turn double plays because of Jimenez. And that's why this is where you bring in the Bo Bichette factor, where you bring Bo Bichette back, and it's like a domino effect offensively for the Blue Jays. So I'm fascinated to see how that plays out. But man, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., what an epic postseason that this guy has been on.
It's unbelievable. And he murdered the Yankees, and you think, okay, that's against the Yankees. He's done it his whole life, but he still did it against the Mariners. And Gabe, by the time of taping this podcast.
And I remember, actually, I have a long memory for this stuff. You Blue Jay fans were all ripping him before. He's not worth the money. They should trade him and all that. I remember.
There have been times, you guys, and I say, listen, you guys,
I'm a Raptor fan, but Raptor fans are bad too, but Toronto sports fans like throw their team under the bus, but then they jump back on the wagon when it's good after. Let's just call it out for what it is. Anyway, everybody ripped Vladimir Guerrero, like big time.
That's true. Bo Bichette's taking balls at second base, but we still don't know what's happening by the time of this podcast. So I don't know what the Blue Jays are up to with him, but trying different positions, and we'll see what happens if he's factored in the lineup come Friday for the game one of the World Series.
I admit, too. I'll admit when I'm wrong. See, other people don't. That's what bothers me with sports media. They'll say things and then sort of, oh, I never really saw you. You know how many times I ripped Blue Jays management? Like Atkins and Shapiro, both of them?
I did, too.
Right? For the aloofness, the swings and the misses in free agency, they had more attention to. Look, Shapiro's more of a business guy, right? So he's done a great job for the Jays. Like, you know, I'm going to renovate the stadium for you. We'll get these TV. We'll do this. We'll do that. Like, you know, so Atkins, from a baseball perspective, though, they deserve credit, right? They do. I mean, everybody ripped them. You look at the team that they put together. It's an awesome baseball team. They've had a great year. And whether they win or lose, they've just made Rogers like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
Good call.
So it's like this run has been like, if you're Rogers Corporation, like this couldn't be better. Like, this is like the glory days of the Rogers company. They own the team. So every ticket, every jersey, every everything, like everything that's sold in the stadium, they own the team. They own the stadium. They own the concession deals, because most arenas like will have a concession company, whatever. No, the Jays own everything. So every popcorn, every hot dog, every beer, everything that is sold in that building, they make money off. It's theirs. The stadium is theirs. The parking fees are theirs. The team is theirs. So they own the team. They own the stadium. They own the goddamn network that the team is on. That is a national network. They own the cable grid that the network is on. So they own the fiber optic cable. You are paying them think about it, like put it this way. If you're a Toronto Blue Jay fan, you're a consumer in Canada. You are paying Rogers to watch the Jays on their network, on their cable package. You're using their phone, so you're paying them your phone bill. You're using their phone. You're going to their stadium. You're betting on their team. You're buying their merchandise when you buy the Jays merchandise. It really is like one of the best run businesses in the world. Like Rogers, what they have going on right now with the Toronto Blue Jays and their whole sports operation, for the most part, like, they are starting to really mess. Like, Rogers and, like, Bell used to be competitors. And, like, Bell owned sports teams and Rogers owned stuff. But Rogers is just, like, taking over. And even Bell's like, we can't do what they're doing. Like, we don't have that type of money. And they don't want to be in sports as much. But what Rogers has done is an incredible, incredible story. Listen, I'm not their biggest fans from a corporate perspective, but from a business perspective, they'll be teaching this stuff in business schools for 100 years, how this family is operated and the deals that they've done. They're just, and I remember years ago, I spoke to somebody, a television owner and in the industry, and he goes, I just came back from a meeting with all these companies, and he goes, man, Rogers are tough. And I said, yeah, what are they like? And he goes, they're killers. He goes, these guys are just killers, man. He goes, these guys, like, he goes, they're sharks. Like, that's what he said. He said, like, they got a bunch of lawyers and they're just a bunch of sharks. And he said, like, they admit, like, in front of you, like, we want to destroy everybody. Like, we want to destroy the competition. And he goes, you know, the Bell people are kind of nicer. Like he said, the Bell people are kind of just like rich exec types that want to make money and do deals, but they don't have the let's crush everybody around us mentality, right? They're like just like, you know, like TELUS. TELUS does their thing, but they're not like, yeah, let's like take over the world. Rogers is in let's take over the world mode camp. Like those guys, they're buying everything. Like they've taken over the Toronto sports scene. Like they're going to box Bell out very soon.
No, they're on fire. I can tell you that too. And when you're paying to watch all this stuff, no, it's you said it. They're just growing and growing, crushing and crushing. And you couldn't ask for anything better. Like this run, man, this is unprecedented how much money these guys are bringing in. It's nuts.
The amount of, and you got the thing is too, the JSL merchandise nationally, they get televised nationally. Think about the ratings to put in context. They had 11 million people watching at one point on Sportsnet the other night.
Huge.
So you have 11 million people watching. It was the biggest, most biggest number in Canadian history. There was 10 million people watching in the United States. So put in context, 300 and like 400 million people got 10 million people. 45 million people got 11 million people. Mm-hmm. Those 11 million people were all watching on one network. And as I stated, paying on the cable bill and stuff. Like, you know, I'm pretty good at giving you guys stock advice. It's pretty clear. Bet on Rogers, like just moving forward. They're not going to let up. They're only going to continue to grow and get bigger. All right. So thanks to Rob Vino for some good insights. Cam, we'll catch you on the grid on Friday. World Series. Actually, are you good? What are you going to do? Are you you're not going to any of these games, Cam? The World Series in your backyard? You're not even going to go to a game?
I can't lie to you, Marenzi. I don't have the money to do the things that I want to do. I'm going to be watching all the games, and it sounds amazing. I'm just looking forward to the games. I just want it to be a competitive World Series, and I'm losing my mind. I can't believe that the Blue Jays are actually in the World Series. But no, I won't be going to any of these games unless I find a way to get a deal on tickets. I don't have the bread.
You've got to. They do release some. There was some the other day. McInnes sent me a message saying his buddy's got some yesterday for $345.
Well, that's a good deal.
Yeah, but they go so fast. They go so fast. Like I said, I wish I could come to Toronto. The Toronto tickets are stupid expensive. Like I'm not disputing that. It's crazy. It's like $2,300 now.
That's nuts.
Yeah, for one baseball game, which is pretty crazy, but it's a once in a lifetime thing.
That's true.
I mean, like seeing the Blue Jays and the Dodgers in the World Series.
No, you're right. I wish I had more money to do these things, but unfortunately, I don't. But
you got to pick some more winners.
I got to do a lot more things, but yeah, that's partly true. Yeah,
more winners. I got to pick some winners this weekend. Otherwise, I might be. I might be sleeping in the parking lot of Dodger Stadium, actually.
Cheaper in a hotel.
Yeah. No, I know. It is. You got to pick your spots. But for me, like, you know what I mean? You like watching on TV more anyways type deal. But you're killing the travel part. That's the thing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that I like the World Cup in Vancouver. It's like, all right, I'm going to have to spend more on the tickets, but at least I don't have to fly anywhere. You know what I'm saying?
It's a good point. No, like the crazy thing is the fact that you made the decision to go to watch these guys in LA instead of Toronto tells you all you need to know, right? Because, yeah, these things are going nuts. I heard from another guy, same type of story that you were saying. They had these $400 tickets and like the bots just, I think Pete just tweeted me and he was saying the same thing. He was on the list, but boom, they were gone. Exactly what you said. Like he didn't even have a chance to blink and those tickets were gone at that price.
Nah. And people in Toronto, you're getting screwed kind of because you got people from all over the country trying to buy tickets, not just you in Toronto.
Good call. Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? There's certain teams like the Canadians are like that. The Montreal Canadiens, people buy tickets from all over the place. And not to mention, like you said, you've got these ticket brokers and stuff that some guy in Texas is fleecing people in Toronto tonight, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like if you have computer knowledge and you have the credit cards, you can, you know what I mean? You rack up, you know, you'll be able to sell the tickets. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm excited to hear Richard tomorrow to see if he's got any new tunnels that he can get into for free.
Well, that's the
he's
thing.
Not you buying should... tickets. I should go with Richard.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. Like,
if he wants a partner, but I think he likes to do things solo. But if he wants me there,
yeah, you might slow him down.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah,
so. But yeah, you know, that's it. We're gonna say, yeah, tomorrow Garner's gonna be on, and it'll be fun to catch up with Garner, and especially so yeah, Garner's got a ticket for game two.
Oh, cool.
But he's got, in fact, pretty crazy. I think Garner. You know, in typical Garner fashion, but I think he's sitting with Justin Bieber.
That's classic, Richard.
He's in Bieber seats or something.
Oh, wow.
But not through Garner. Like, Garner knows somebody. You know, Garner always knows somebody, right? So, Garner knows somebody who knows somebody. But long story short, yeah, Garner's got his seats. But at the end, he goes, yeah, yeah, in Bieber seats. And I was like, Shane Bieber or Justin? Right, I was kind of confused between the two of them. He's like, no, the singer Bieber.
Yeah, Justin.
But I don't know if Bieber's going to be there. But, yeah, he's got game two.
Yeah.
But I asked him because we'll get him on the podcast tomorrow, and I wanted to ask him. I said, so you're going to try to sneak in again? I said, you almost have to, right? And he is going to.
Amazing.
He says that he's got a ticket for tomorrow, but he says if it goes game six and game seven that he will attempt to sneak in again.
You think he can do it? I would bet against him. Tell you that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Where there's a will, there's a way. You can get in. Rod, I'm sure, I got to believe it's harder now than it was, though, before.
Yes.
In the modern era, just with the cameras and... But if there's any state, yeah, like if there's... I would bet, yes, that he would. He could get caught. You know, that's the, you know what I mean? Don't forget, you could get caught. You want to get caught playing dumb and not get caught trespassing.
Exactly.
Like there's a difference between playing naive and then knowing that you tried to deliberately sneak in. But the thing is with the Rogers Center in Toronto, it's a massive complex. There's a bunch of different ways to get in there. I know what Garner's trick is actually to get into that stadium. And you know it's going to be tough, but he's going to need a backup plan. The garages are a good way to go. And if you're really smart, too, there's a lot of ways, guys. Find out, like, you know what I mean, what color jacket they're wearing and stuff. Like, you pop a yellow, like, security jacket on, no one will stop you. Like, nobody stops anybody anywhere, guys. If you just walk around and act like you belong, you can, you know what I mean? We saw at the UFC in Vegas with Garner. There was a wall of security and there was a wall of cops. And I told him, I said, there's no way in hell past that. He talked his way through it, right? He's like, so yeah, you should hitch your wagon to Richard Garner camp to get into a game.
It's a good wagon.
Yeah, yeah. Like
successful wagon for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what's funny? He even gave away his plan on TV. And I remember the guy on the Blue Jays called into the TV show years ago on The Score. And he laughed. And he goes, yeah, Richard, we tightened up the things that, you know, the ways that you used to get in here. And he laughed about it. And Richard said, yeah, we'll see about that. So, yeah, Richard Garner tomorrow. All right. Check out the World Series specials, Cam, on Bet365. They got a million different props and stuff. Have some best bets ready tomorrow.
Yep.
I'll be posting some picks today and some videos for the World Series. Any picks for tonight on the way out for you?
Any picks for tonight on the way out? Actually, looking at the football game, Gabe, I've changed my opinion. I think the Chargers might be a play tonight. That total looks a little bit light in that football game as well, 44.5. That's kind of weird. So I guess if you like Minnesota, I would tease them. I think the Chargers are going to win this game by 7 points, and that total looks very, very short to me at 44.5.
Yeah, it's man. This game has teaser. Weird. It has teaser written all over it.
It does.
I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings teased up to 10 points, and I will tease it to the over. As well. But I got to tell you, man, like all this stuff, Cam, even I'm a big Whitecap fan. I'm going to the game Sunday. And even that I'm distracted by now. Like I was thinking about the Whitecaps so much. This damn World Series has me obsessed. Can't wait for first pitch tomorrow.
It's going to be awesome. No, Gabe, I wanted them to start early, and I'm jonesing for baseball too. Let's just hope it's a classic. I know a lot of people, you're right, people are trying to like will themselves with the Blue Jays. I think it's going to be good though. I think these teams are going to be competitive, and I think it's going to be a classic World Series. I'm telling you, I would not be shocked if it went seven games. A lot of people don't feel that way, but I think it's going to be a great battle.
No, I think it could as well. You know, nothing would surprise me almost. I'd be surprised if the Blue Jays swept the Dodgers, but no, it wouldn't surprise me if it went seven. It wouldn't surprise me if the Dodgers won in five or if the Blue Jays won in seven. Like, I'm not dismissing the Blue Jays, trust me. As the series gets closer, I'm getting more worried about it. But that's because, you know, I'm just a big fan, though, I think, too. All right, good job, Cam. Thanks to Rob Vino. And thanks to everybody for tuning in. Other than that, you're on your own. Go Dodgers.